Foundation at Super Bowl. With your football? Go ahead.
Yeah, I was looking at the procedure, and I just had a few questions and suggestions based on what we experienced yesterday. First of all, I think I only need to remove the aft bridge. I think that's the only one that will interfere, because there's other structure for sliding up the cargo pallet. That's the only one that's relevant. So I would suggest just taking the aft one off and saving a little bit of time there. The other big delta is, I know the desire is to leave everything powered, but I was wondering if it would be a big impact to just turn off the power and denate the call one, only the ones in question, very briefly toward the end of the procedure after we've removed everything, because I think the problem that Jack and I had yesterday was that with the access in there, it was very difficult when they were on that short leash. And now there's a lot more stuff in there, and like the pullers and merlins will be floating. They won't be in their rigid spot, but there's still going to be a lot more stuff in there to kind of maneuver around. And I'm not sure it'll even be possible, or it'll at least be much more difficult if we can't do that. There are no Velcro ties that can be removed. There is a on-the-wire harness in question. There is a zip tie, plastic zip tie, that's very well taped down and fixed to the back of the structure, so we didn't want to cut that one because you can't even really see it that well. I mean, I would be a little bit nervous cutting that one, but even pulling that one, I'm not sure it would give us enough clearance. So I guess it's a long way of asking, would it be a big deal to remove power briefly, to denate those, quickly reverse the locker, and then remate them? I think that we could do that in a fairly short amount of time, but yesterday it definitely required two people to maneuver it without damaging the wire harnesses or anything else in Dragon, and most of this activity I'll be on my own with way more stuff in there than yesterday, but I think it's going to be much more difficult than it was yesterday.
Okay, copy all. Ground teams will talk just unpowering call one, and I can get back to you for that. Yeah, we understand those concerns, and we were talking about that on the ground. Let us circle the wagons for that for a bit, and we'll get back to you. But for your other question, you are good to only remove the aft bridge. Start with that one. See if you can get it done with that one first.
Okay, and just, yeah, when we were talking about this last night, we thought that it might not matter with the 180 orientation since it's still in the right velocity vector. Is like one of those fans, just so we understand, is one of those fans like an in and one an out, or why does the 180 matter? We were assuming that those fan locations were symmetrical.
It's a fan orientation. Right now, call one is exhausting air into the inlet and pulling air in from the exhaust, so we're going to rotate it so it gets the correct cooling.
Okay, understand. Yeah, it was interesting yesterday. That's why we called down about it. Originally, we had it in the correct orientation, and then because we saw the forward hatch label on that diagram, we were convinced to turn it 180. So I'll make sure when I take another look at the new diagram that it still makes sense, but that was why we did it. I'm not sure if that was a problem with that diagram or what happened there.
Okay, that makes sense. We can track that on the ground.
I think for the future, you know, there has been no ambiguity in all of the other kind of reference locations, and this diagram was different. So, yeah, I think that's what happened. We should have thought to, because we were discussing it real time, we should have just asked then, but we were kind of convinced by that. So, all right, I'll go start my tool gather and then get into it. And if you guys, if you have a little bit of time to discuss that power issue, I think it would really expedite things. I also think this is probably going to take a lot longer than an hour and a half, but we'll see how it goes.
Okay, copy all. And I have tool locations for you if you want them.
I think I know where everything is that I need, but I'll give you guys a call if there's any doubt.
Yep, and we will talk call one power down here for a bit, and I'll let you know when we have an answer for you.
All right, great, thank you.
Houston Station, Sophia and 2 from CTV.
We're with you on 2.
I have nose 2, cam 2, showing the PMA and Dragon. Let me know if the view is okay for you.
We're just going to stream it now, and I'll let you know. Give me one second.
Huntsville. Chris on 2 for double cold bags. Jack and I are getting started. Cameras are up. Let us know if you need to change the field of view. Also, we deployed 2 new pairs of flyweight cryo gloves, and some of the ones we had out were getting a little bit worn. One of the -308 part numbers and one of the -307 part numbers.
Okay, Chris, we copy all. We are ready for double cold bag pack. I recognize that I gave you guys 2 video targets for Columbus, but if you could go ahead and move it to Columbus Forward 3 so we can see Biolab, we'll just take that for now. And then for timeline overview, for your 0920 and 1050 Dragon transfer activities, we'd like you to do both of those after the Dragon double cold bag packs. So it'll look pack 1, pack 2, and then both DCB Dragon transfer activities. One on Chris's timeline at 0920 and one on Jack's timeline at 1050.
Yeah, copy. I mean, yeah, so I think with the Paul relocates, I don't think we're going to be able to get into Dragon. So I think we'll, I think my understanding is that we'll just load the double cold bags and temp stow those, and then once we can get them into Dragon, we'll get them into the Dragon. Is that a correct understanding?
Confirmed, that's correct, and you guys got it. And once you do get to your Dragon transfer activities, I have some stow track deltas, but we can talk that when we get there.
Copy that. So there'll be some deltas to the locations the double cold bags are going in Dragon, but otherwise packing them will be all per procedure.
Per procedure, except for one delta. When you get to step 7 of your double cold bag pack 1, please give us a call. I have one packing delta for you.
Copy. Step 7, we'll have one delta, and that's for bag 1048. We'll track that, and we will make that adjustment we'll make that call when we get back.
Copy. Thanks, Chris.
Sounds good. We're getting started now.
And Station Houston on 2 for Sophie. We're happy with the camera view. A thumbs up is good. Don't need to reply if you're busy.
Houston, Station Sophie, copy. Thank you.
Huntsville, Chris on 2 for double cold bags.
Go ahead, Chris.
So step 3.2, sequence number 3 for the hobo data logger. Looks like there's multiple hobo data loggers in that location. Just wanted to pick any one, or what items do you want? There's a bunch of data loggers, but multiple of them say HOBO on them.
You can pick any one of those to go into this double cold bag. You'll eventually unload all of them throughout today's operation.
Okay, copy. We are just grabbing one of them, barcode Mike 246640 is going into this one.
Copy, 640, thank you.
Oh, sorry, I guess there's multiple barcodes on this one. So this is also barcode CMC01593 Juliet.
Okay, 593 Juliet, and for the rest of these, we don't need those barcodes. You're good to just stick them in a bag.
Okay, copy. We'll just grab them and stick them in bags.
Well, station CM2 for Jim Kellen.
Sophie, go ahead.
Sophie, this is Kuba. Go ahead.
Jim Kellen. That's a good one from Sophie. Gem Cam 1 is ready for downlink. Let me know if the view is okay for you.
Okay, Sophie, we'll check in and back with you. Station to command spaceman 2 for Sophie, at your convenience.
Station, Sophie,
I'm
with you.
Yes, Sophie, the view is good on GEMCOM 1. And at your convenience, if you can take off the cover on the internal port camera, that'd be great. And lastly, you are go at step 1.1 of the procedure to this mode 00.
Go to start the procedure, and we'll take the cover off the port internal camera.
Good copy. Thank you.
Huntsville, Chris on 2, step 3.7, packing complete time was 8:14.
8:14, copy. Station Huntsville, safety ground 2 for Jessica and Paul.
Go ahead.
Jessica, we have got some steps to have you power down Paul, if you'd like.
Hey, yeah, that would be great.
Okay, so we will reference procedure 2.020. It was on your timeline yesterday at 11:25. As to steps from there, if you'd like me to wait till you get there, I can, or I can just go into you now.
You can go ahead. I actually think I know how to do it by memory, but of course it'd be great to get the steps.
Yeah, you did it yesterday. I trust you still got it. We'll do step 2.2 to shut down Paul 1 at UP16. Then we'll do 4.4 through 4.5 to safe upstream power. 4.5 is non-POIC go, so you can check with us. We'll let you know when we're ready for that. You'll demate power and data from Paul 1. Reorient it per the message we gave you, and then perform steps 4.7 through 4.10 to remate everything and repower it.
Okay, so it's procedure 2.020, 2.2 to shut it down, and that's for location UP16. Then it'll be steps 4.4 through 4.5, then demate the connectors, reorient, and then 4.7 through 4.10.
Yeah, you got it. And once it's powered down, we are on a 30-minute clock until we need it repowered, but I trust you'll get everything done in that time.
Yeah, copy. I think that will be, it should only be really a few minutes if we're able to demate it and get it into a nice location. I've got everything else out right now. I'm going to secure things a little bit better with bungees, and then I'll be ready to do those steps.
Copy that.
Huntsville, Chris on cue for step for cold bag 1039, sequence 4. We just wanted to double check if there are orientation constraints, and we did put some bubble wrap for padding for this. If we have future biocells, will padding be needed for them?
Checking.
So station on 2 for Paul.
Go for Paul.
Okay, power off time was 8:27. I did also perform step 4.3 to open the circuit breaker as well. I think we missed that one. So the switch for UP16 is off. OFF, looking for your go to before I demate.
Copy, you are go to demate.
Copy, go. Thanks. Huntsville station on 2 for Paul. I am complete through 6 Golf. I can verify that all 4 fasteners on Paul 1 were torque 33, and then the cargo pallet was torque 2260. Just one question on the remaining steps. It has me put the single stowage locker in first. I would rather put them in the reverse order that I took them out. I think that will be easier the way things are temp stowed right now. I don't think that it should matter, but let me know what you think about that.
Copy torque value, Jessica, and any order for reinstallation is fine, whatever works best for you.
Okay, I thought that would be the case. Thank you for being flexible, and it should be wrapped up pretty soon then. Thanks. Huntsville station on 2 for Polar.
With you on 2 for Polar.
I can verify that the single stowage locker was torqued to 33.33, and then the Merlin and both Polars were torqued to 75.75 inch pounds. I don't think I gave you that Paul powered on time in that previous call. That was 8:42, so well within that 30 minutes. That was a little bit easier than expected, but I think it was because we did the power down that just made that part really, really quick. Otherwise, it's really difficult to try to get in there with the high locker tool. But by securing the polders temporarily with bungees, it wasn't half as bad as I thought it would be. So apologies that we didn't get that right the first time. But I think, yeah, maybe we could all take a look at those diagrams again and try to make that a little bit more streamlined for us in the future.
Copy everything, Jessica, and yeah, thank you for your suggestion. I agree, getting that pole powered off saved us a little bit of time. Copy torque values and power on time. I appreciate all the work. And for your essay, we're getting good indications on the ground that the telemetry we were seeing that made us reorient fall has changed, and we're in a good config.
All right, great. That's good to know. I'm glad we got it right this time. And I did double-check, you know, all the burrows and polars to make sure that they're still on their home displays just in case anything got fucked. So everything did look good. It did not say to take pictures, but I'm assuming you'd like some pictures as well.
You know us so well. We'd love pictures.
Sure thing. I did actually take pictures on my iPad of all the orientation of all the walkers so that I could make sure that I got them back in the correct way. And I can tell you that my pictures do match the current orientation, and I'll go get some pictures. I'll download those in a few minutes on SSC 1717.
Copy 17. Thanks, Jessica.
Huntsville, Chris on a 2 for Stray Track 254.
Go ahead for 254. Know that we might have some ready comm.
Copy. It says lid towards basement and lid facing aft for constrained image. I'm assuming this is lid towards basement and hinge facing aft is what was intended, but I just wanted to double check the orientation there.
That's a good understanding. Lid towards basement, hinge aft.
Sorry, can you say again for Chris on 2?
Abram, you have a good understanding. Lid towards the basement, hinge facing aft.
Copy, and that's same for 255 as well.
And Chris, go back. Lid should be towards the forward hatch, hinge facing aft, and checking on 255.
Sorry, overhead or forwards?
Overhead. And Chris, that's overhead. You're correct. And 255 will follow the same orientation.
Copy. 254, 255, lid towards dragon overhead, hinge towards aft.
Abram.
Copy. Huntsville, Chris on 24, Stow Track Step 255 orientation.
With you for 255?
Yeah, I was thinking that this also says lid towards dragon basement and lid facing dragon aft, but that doesn't make any sense. This one, it seems like, is in a different orientation than the prior step of 254, because it looks like, at least from the constraint image, that this bag should be 90 degrees out of what the bag in UP13 is. So I just wanted to check. I'm guessing based on the picture in the constraint image of the prior step that this should be lid starboard and hinge aft, but I wanted to double check.
Okay, Chris, we're thinking that one should be lid towards center dragon with no preference on hinge orientation.
Okay, so no preference on hinge orientation, so nothing in there is sensitive to the G direction. Okay, I will put it in with the lid towards the center dragon and the hinge aft just to keep consistent.
We copy, thanks.
Houston Station on 2 for SFC relocate.
We're with you on 2, go ahead.
Good morning, Erin. I just had a quick question. It looks like, just for overall, I am just relocating 4 and 7 from the lab into the cupola and not taking any power cables with me. I'm just demating the computer, and then there are already existing power chains in the cupola. Is that correct?
We're checking, Jessica. Give me 1 second.
All right, thank you. And then the second question for that, you know, those procedures always have a million different places to record serial numbers, but then usually all of that info is in the execute note, so I'm assuming you don't really need those data. Is that also correct?
All right, Jessica, so you're good just to move the laptops. The power chains are already in place for you to plug back into, and we won't need those serial numbers we're tracking already.
Okay, perfect. I thought that was a few, so just wanted to double check. Thank you.
Huntsville. Chris on 2 for double code bag loading.
Go ahead, Chris.
I don't know if you guys are watching along on the Dragon cameras, but I don't think it's physically possible to load the cold bags like they're certainly not in the order that it's listed. But with the Dragon hatch and the other bags and the pole post there, we're just having a real hard time trying to fit the bags in. like double cold bags, it's dicey to get them around the, like just between the hatch and the post for this upper port side. Do you have any suggestions for what like the order is that we need to be going in to get these things to fit?
Because we are watching, we're thinking you might be able to manipulate the hatch, but we're trying to tag up with SpaceX before you would give you a go for that. If we get a go, do you think that that'll help get those in if we can get you to manipulate the hatch?
Yeah, we already tried that and didn't have much luck. The problem is just the size and the rigidity of the double cold bag, getting it around the corner of the hatch. We tried manipulating the hatch in and putting it in from the top, but the curvature of the hull and the hatch support structures were interfering in that case.
Okay, got it. We were KULOS for a bit, so we missed that. Give us a second to talk about order.
Yeah, we had to remove the R091 and 090 because those were in the way for any way of putting those in. We tried putting in 1056 first, which we think probably has to happen before 1044 as well.
Station 2 for SSA, relocate.
We're with you. Go ahead on 2.
Actually, disregard, I think I found a standby log.
Huntsville, Chris on 2, looking for some more words on how to get these double cold bags in. We don't think they'll fit the way they are. One thing that might work, you know, the problem is the double cold bags are rigid, so getting them into that gap between the hatch and into the UP area is, like, there's just not enough clearance. Part of it might be because of the CTV that's stored in UP14 is, you know, quite full. But one thing that might work is switching the location of the CTV in UP14, the double cold bag in UP13, just because something squishy to try to get into that space, that UP13 space might be necessary. But it's, I'm not sure if this is like possible given the geometry.
Okay, sorry, we're trying to track down some extra words for you. It's just taking a second. We'll take your suggestions. We're trying to get in touch with SpaceX so we can get proper words from them. So if you'll give us about 5-10 more minutes, we'll call you back when and if we get a plan for you.
Okay, yeah, 5-10 more minutes. And I think for like future loading of these areas, like if you guys could send a video of how to get these things.
And Chris Huntsville on 2, lost you in the handover. Copy your video suggestion.
Houston Station on 2 for SSE.
Go ahead on 2.
Aaron, I've got that config complete. We're just a little bit confused looking for a big picture here because we don't see, I mean, we put these in here for Dragon monitoring, but we don't actually see anybody scheduled for Dragon monitoring. Is that, I'm never just missing that in the timeline?
Yeah, we don't have anything hard scheduled for you, so it's for your situational awareness, should you like to monitor.
Okay, interesting. So we moved 2 extra SSEs in here, even though we don't have a requirement for monitoring. That seems like a little bit unnecessary since we already have an SSE in here, but I guess I understand the intent.
Yeah, just if you guys want to use them, they're there now, but that's kind of the plan.
Okay, yeah, I thought that we recalled having somebody scheduled to actually monitor retreat for our last departure, but maybe I'm thinking of something else.
Not for cargo undocks, but we've had feedback in the past from astronauts that liked having the option if they wanted to monitor it.
Okay, understand. Thanks for the insight.
Huntsville, Chris on 2 for Dragon packing.
Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, it looks like Jack was finally able to maneuver some things around to get it to work. But, I mean, for future reference, right, we basically had to unpack the entire upper port, including unpacking one of the CTVs in there and repacking it sort of in place to get this to work. So I think thinking about the choreography of how we get cold bags in here is not straightforward for the future. I think we may have to do the same thing on the other side.
Okay, Chris, we copy. Good news. And what would you suggest we say next time for the upper port choreography? What order would you suggest?
Well, I think that packing CTVs in there and packing double cold bags, like, they kind of all have to be done at the same time because, you know, basically all of the CTVs that got packed in there yesterday, we just had to unpack today to try to maneuver the double cold bags in. If you look at the physical size of the double cold bag and the clearance you have between the hatch and the post that runs sort of overhead, like Zenith Nadir in Dragon, like, there's basically zero clearance. You kind of have to squeeze the cold bag against the hatch to slide things in there. And so any amount of, like, overstuffing of a CTV will make it impossible. I think that you kind of need to almost maneuver the cold bags in first because they're rigid, and then kind of squeeze the CTVs in afterwards from above. But the CTVs have to be squeezable. They can't be rigid to get them in there.
Okay, Chris, thanks so much. That is extremely helpful, and we'll keep that in mind for next time. I'm really glad you guys got it in.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be able to work it on the other side. The other piece of feedback is, like, all the bags, like, we had a couple half CTVs that were put in the upper center, and those can't be there for loading of these bags as well.
Copy and concur, and you guys are so close to being done with Basic 34. Keep it up with the marathon. You're almost there.
Almost there. We'll make it. We've gotta get the rest of these double cold bags in though. So we'll probably be a little bit behind the timeline, but we'll do what we can to catch up.
And station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for the awareness of the crew. I'm gonna move the Dragon Ops to Space to Ground 3, and Jessica, I'm gonna put you on Space to Ground 4 for your maintenance activity. And we've got a good camera view of your thumbs up. Thank you. And RSA 2 is moving to public call 2, so you'll probably hear some Russian comms on that frequency.
Сергей, Андрей, добрый день. Слушаю вас хорошо, вижу. Давайте мы проверим, как у нас там манжетка одета, измерим давление.
Давайте.
Не АД пуск.
Выдал измерение АД пуск.
Принято. Все хорошо, все отлично надето. Можем начинать. Андрей раскручивает велоэргометр и выставляет 125.
125 установлен.
Принято. Сергей, на лэптопе измерение АД пуск.
Пуск выдан.
Велоэргометр 150.
150 установлен.
Да. Сергей, на лэптопе выставляем измерение АД 240 и пуск.
240 установил, пуск выдал.
На велоэргометре 175. Принято.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for any available crew member. We just need Jack's attention to stop at stowage activity. Can't get a hold of him.
Сергей, на лэптопе измерение АД пуск. Принято. Заканчиваем педалирование.
Закончили.
И на лэптопе измерение АД пуск.
Пуск выдал.
Принято. Измерение АД выставляем 180 и пуск.
180 установил, а пуск выдал.
Принято. Еще раз измерение АД пуск.
Пуск выдал.
АД пуск.
Пуск выдан.
Это? Измерение АД, пуск.
Пуск выдан.
Андрей, мы пробу завершили. Можно нажимать завершение на лэптопе. Сергея освобождать. Спасибо вам обоим за работу и удачного дня.
Наталья, извините, вы сказали, что Сергей должен был сделать МО-5.
Еще раз.
Вы сказали, можно Сергея освобождать.
Оговорилась, прошу. Да, видимо, оговорил, да, прошу прощения.
Да, да, все, вы поняли. Хорошо, завершение нажали и освобождаем.
Отлично, спасибо за работу. Всего доброго.
Station Houston on Spacey Ground 2 for Jessica. We're KULOF, so I've gone back to 2. If you could just status us on where you're at in your procedure, that'd be great. And Station Houston, for any available USOS crew member, if you could just have Jessica switch to Spacey Ground 2, that'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah, that was interesting when I was calling in. When I was on the video, it showed that we had goods 3 and 4. But if you didn't hear that last call, both panels are back on. I'm just putting the KTO back in place. There is no interference.
All right, that's great. And we're just curious if you saw any more air bubbles after those last doses, and that would be on the ACA hose by the regulator.
And then I never saw any air bubbles.
Can you stand by for us one sec, Jessica?
Again?
We're just having a discussion about your the closeout there. Just give us a couple minutes. We'll come back to you. It's a bit of a story.
Okay, copy.
Right, we're still discussing things down here, Jessica, but in that video tour you gave us, we found some air bubbles, and that was the reason for those three extra doses. So we're just having a quick chat about how we might want to proceed, and just give us 5 more minutes.
Yeah, I'm also looking at my pictures, and I don't see any bubbles in the pictures that I took at the end after those 3 doses.
That's a good report, Jessica. Obviously, we haven't seen the photos, but we were just concerned about the second loop of the ACA hose, if there was any bubbles in there that you can see. And that would be the bite towards the bottom of the rack.
So I'm looking at the entire length of the line that's connected to Rue 5, which is what is connected to the new pre-treat tank, and I do not see any bubbles in the photos.
All right, that's a great report. Thank you, Jessica. In case one of those little bubbles missed us and missed you and we didn't see it, we may get a bad qual in the future, in which case we'll just run a block November, but we're happy for you to proceed. Thanks very much for sticking with us with this procedure.
Okay, copy. And yeah, just to note, I mean, I think that removing it and installing those new ones, if they're all the same tolerance, is going to be a little bit tricky. Like, we got it in and then couldn't even, you know, Chris had his hand on it and he's like, I don't even know how it just got in there the first time, because then it couldn't get in again, and it just was just like random pushing and pulling on it a little bit to get it to fit. It just seems like it's a little bit out of tolerance. One of the things that maybe I think, I don't know if you guys, if maybe it wasn't accounted for, there's the bracket on the, if I'm facing the WHC, what we've been calling the right side, on the far right side of the wall, there's, you know, a metal bracket that comes down about halfway from the upper portion of the bracket, and so that actually, if you don't have it at exactly the right angle, then that hits the tank. But what I think was happening more for having it getting difficulty to actually get all the way into the bracket was the circumference of the metal, the copperish colored metal part on the front of the tank. It was almost like we had to manipulate the bracket a little bit just for that to slide through, because it's basically like exactly the same diameter as like the opening of the bracket.
That's all really good data. The folks down here are marking that down, and hopefully you can make some improvements for next time. So thanks for all that. Appreciate it. I'm sorry, Jessica, I talked myself into an LOS, but we're just saying thank you very much for all that data. It's all really good feedback, and we'll do our best to incorporate that for next time. But yeah, we've marked that all down, and OSO is working furiously away to make it better for next time.
Yeah, I think a few more specific steps in there to indicate which side not just right side, because right means depends on which orientation you're looking at, if you're looking at the bracket from the front or if you're looking at the WHC from the front. And then also those, you know, moving those fasteners to the other side, to that right side instead of the left like they are on the original pre-treat tanks, makes them considerably harder to access and put in because, of course, the tank itself is in your way versus just free space. I did need the curl foot in the end for that fastener too, as you anticipated, and I finally got them, but it's just a little bit, you know, annoying access because you have to go on around the tank.
Yeah, it's all good data. Thank you very much. We'll be sure to incorporate that. And we also acknowledge that maybe a couple extra figures on the procedure would have been helpful.
Regardless, you know, maybe a note in there about what a tight fit it is as well, because it doesn't feel right, even if you know you're doing it from the right side. It, like, feel like you're forcing it, and it doesn't necessarily feel right. So it'd be good to kind of pre-warn everybody when they're seeing that for the first time.
Yeah, it's a good point, too, that it was significantly more stiff than we were anticipating. It seemed like it was tough on the ground here, but you guys had a harder time up there for sure, so we'll be sure to add that as well. Thank you very much.
All right, you're welcome. And procedure 8, procedures, or I guess the message 740556, the number of uses is 97290 instead of 8.8. And I've already reported all of the serial numbers in the previous procedures, so I'm assuming I don't need to report those again.
That is correct. Thank you very much for that report.
Okay, you're welcome. Sensation on 2 for stowage questions.
Go ahead on 2.
That end is the cushion that the new universal pre-treat tank came in, is that something that needs to be kept? I don't necessarily see it in the stowage, or is that just trash? Do we need it for the future for something coming down?
Checking.
Also, Aaron, the serial numbers for the pre-treat tank that I removed do not match the stowage.
Okay, I copy, and we're checking.
Serial number that I removed is 2106022, and the stowage said something else.
All right, Jessica, your serial number is correct. Ours is incorrect on the ground, and you can trash that cushion. We won't need it.
Okay, copy. Thanks.
Houston Station, Jax on 2 for Dragon. And good afternoon. We are still reviewing the images, so we are going to let you know if we have any last-minute tasks for you here in this 1310 block.
Okay, you guys happy for me to get started on the 1330 activity and then just come back and catch up on any changes, or do you want me to sit tight and wait?
Checking. Station Houston on 2 for you, Jack.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we took a look at the procedure. We don't want you to step into those steps quite yet because the first thing you'll do is remove some of the protective equipment for some of the sealing surfaces and seals. So what you can do, though, is you can gather all the hardware associated with that activity from the stow note.
Houston Station, Sophie on 2 for robots.
With you on 2.
Would you mind if I do the robot procedure, though this is supposed to start in half an hour-ish right now? I understand there are just 2 steps to perform.
Checking, Sophie.
Thank you.
Station Houston on 2, back with you, Sophie.
Houston Station, Sophie on 2.
Sophie, you have a go for the robot activity.
Great news. Thank you very much. Also, I was trying to troubleshoot lab camera number 1, because it froze. It was an interesting view up here. Let me know if you see something at one point.
Okay, we'll take a look.
So, I do not manage to power cycle it. So, I don't know if it's a problem of the viewer that we have or of the camera itself. Right now it's a black viewer, and the symptom that I found, it was initially was the image frozen, so I just put off and on again, but now it's completely dark and all connection seems to be okay. Kind of interesting thing that I've never seen here.
Copy all, Sophie. If you can try power cycling the encoder.
I think this is... Yay! Great news. Yeah. So it's, I had to do like 4 power cycles, but now it works. Great news.
Thank you for your time, and glad to have a smiling face there.
Yeah, no worries.
Station Houston on 2 for Jack at your convenience, and a get ahead.
Houston Station Jack's on 2.
Jack, I got another item you can work while we're still waiting on the picture review. In that activity that starts at 1330, procedure 3.101, the Dragon cargo configuration for departure and ingress, you can perform steps 2.7 through 2.9 and take heed to the warning block that is just after step 2.6.
All right, I can heed the warning in 2.6 and perform 2.7 through 2.9 of 3.101.
That's a good read. And this is the MLI inspection.
And is this the MLI inspection I did yesterday?
Yes, it's the same one, and just be conscious of to minimize disruption of the MLI. Station Houston on Space Ground 2 for Jack and Cargo Dragon.
Jack's on 2.
Jack, we've reviewed the photos. We have one action for you that you can verbally confirm after you've completed it. We'd like you to tighten strap alpha on the upper starboard 12 location.
Tighten strap alpha on upper starboard. Houston Station, strap alpha on the upper starboard. Cargo Dragon has been tightened.
Copy, Jack. That completes that 1310 activity, so you have a go to step into all of the Dragon egress activities scheduled at 1330.
I go for the 1330 task.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Jack.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to clarify my last call on procedure 3.101. You can step into that procedure starting in step 1, and you have a go in step 2.1. We'll sync back later in the procedure.
Okay, copy that. I can start 2.101. I have a go in 2.1 of that procedure. And I missed the third thing that you said, sorry.
Jack, in procedure 3.101, you can pick up with step 1. And when you get to step 2.1, you have a go. We'll sync back later on in the procedure.
Yeah, I caught the first two things again, and I can start procedure 3.101 in step 1, and I have a go when I get to step 2.1, and I still did not understand the third thing that you said, sorry.
That's okay. You got the gist. We'll, so you have a go to pick up in step 1 of 3.101.
And start step 1 of 3.101. Thanks.
Pencil Station 2 for cable and relocate.
Sophie Huntsville, with you.
I go to start the activity RS-232 cable relocate a little bit early.
Yes, you are go to start early.
Thank you.
Houston Station Jack's on 2 in step 2.5. The Dragon hatch was closed. GMT 1401.
Copy, step 2.5.
Pencil Station Sophiam 2 for cable relocate.
Pencil is with you. Sophie, if you are notifying us of completion, we can do it on Space Ground 2, but if you have some questions, let's take it to Space Ground 3.
Yeah, that's task complete. And just as a heads up, on the multi-port QB serial adapter, all LEDs are red.
Okay, Sophie, you are complete, and the LEDs are red. We copy, and no action.
Copy.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Sophie, when convenient.
This is Station Sophie on 2 with you.
Sophie, the NMS laptop in the lab came offline. We'd love it if you could check the cables on that for us.
Sure. Which laptop did you say?
It's the NMS. It's located under the lab robotic workstation.
Patient, I'll check this one. Sophie on 2 for NMSS.
With you on 2, Sophie.
Yeah, it felt like all was nominal, so I just unplugged, replugged. Do you all need to open and restart, reboot the computer, or?
Sophie, we'll stand down from that. No further troubleshooting is required.
Okay, great news.
Station Houston on Space Ground 2 for Jack.
Go for Jack.
Jack, in our node 2 view, we saw a Ziploc bag drifting nadir close to that CTV 1073. Great.
Houston Station with a good hatch seal inspection, looking for a go in 4.5.
Jack, you have a go in step 4.5.
Go in 4.5. Houston Station, Jack's on 2 in step 4.6, the APES hatch and the APES equalization valve are closed or ready for Dragon ID, vestibule depress.
Copy 4.6. Station Houston on 2 for Dragon status, vestibule depress is in work.
Houston Station, Jack's on 2 in step 5.4, the node 2 forward hatch and MPEV are closed, the MPEV is capped. Photos will be on SSC 17, and as has been typical, that node 2 hatch latch mechanism is significantly more difficult to rotate than the other hatches.
Copy all, Jack. Thank you.
So, station Jack's on 2-4. Here's OPD.
Huntsville's with you, Jack.
All right, Huntsville, obviously a little bit late getting into Gears OPT. Just want to make sure it's still possible and where I should be there.
Thank you for letting us know. It is still possible. I need to get Sarah enabled, but I will let you know when she's on phase round 3.
All right, thanks very much.
Station Houston on space ground 2 for Dragon undock.
So with you, I'm 2.
Dragon is go for undocking and departure.
Happy Dragon's go.
Good morning and welcome to Mission Control Houston and the International Space Station Flight Control Room at NASA's Johnson Space Center. I'm Ken Appel with NASA Communications. Expected to undock here in just about 20 minutes from now at 11.05 a.m. Central, 12.05 p.m. Eastern. Dragon delivered more than 3 tons of crew cargo and science experiments upon its arrival to the orbiting laboratory about a month ago, making up SpaceX's 34th commercial resupply services mission to the International Space Station for NASA. And we did just hear a few moments ago that the SpaceX and NASA teams have pulled go for today's undocking. The research-packed Dragon spacecraft is sealed and ready to return to Earth, expecting a splashdown off the coast of California tomorrow, June 17th, at approximately 7:11 a.m. Central, 5:11 a.m. Pacific, returning scientific experiments and critical hardware for teams and researchers here on the ground. Here on the ground in Mission Control Houston, NASA and SpaceX teams have pulled go for undocking, right now currently targeted for 11.05 a.m. Central, 12.05 p.m. Pacific. Mission Control Houston operates 24/7, 365 days a year, with 3 shifts per day known as orbits. And currently here on the ground in Houston in the International Space Station Flight Control Room is the Orbit 2 team of flight controllers, being led by Flight Director Deanna Trujillo. Her role today is to lead and work closely with her team of flight controllers on the ground as they work integrated operations with the SpaceX team in Hawthorne, California. Today's CAPCOM, or capsule communicator, who you see to Deanna Trujillo's right, is Alex Kanellakos. CAPCOM serves as the primary communication between Mission Control and the crew on board station, and you'll hear his voice today during today's operation talking with the crew on board. 34th SpaceX commercial resupply mission began on Friday, May 15th, lifting off on a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket from Space Launch Complex 40 at Cape Canaveral Space Force Station in Florida. About 10 minutes after launch, the Dragon spacecraft separated from the second or upper stage of the Falcon 9 rocket into its preliminary orbit to begin its nearly 37-hour journey to the orbiting laboratory. Following that transit, Dragon docked to the forward port of the space station's Harmony module on Sunday, May 17th, which has now been its home for about 1 month. The mission delivered more than 3 tons of scientific investigations, supplies, and equipment to the 7-member Expedition 74 crew living and working aboard the International Space Station. And this particular Dragon spacecraft is no stranger to the International Space Station. This mission marks a record 6th time this spacecraft has delivered cargo to the orbiting laboratory, having previously flown the 22nd, 24th, 27th, 30th, and 32nd resupply missions. One of the most research-packed Dragon spacecraft returns to date, biological material samples along with tested hardware are heading back to research teams on Earth for further analysis and advancing NASA's work to prepare humans for exploration beyond low Earth orbit and to deliver benefits back home. And if you're just joining us, teams here in Mission Control Houston and the teams at SpaceX in Hawthorne, California have pulled go to send the undock command about 5 minutes ahead of the physical separation. That undock command will take place at 11 a.m. Central, 12 p.m. Eastern. Once the undock command is sent, the umbilicals that are attached to the space station, along with the hooks that are keeping Dragon hard mated to station, will retract to allow that physical separation to take place. Again, we're expecting that physical separation to take place around 11.05 a.m. Central, 12.05 p.m. Eastern. As you can see here on the screens in Mission Control Houston, we are currently in an orbital nighttime, and so once we get some views of Dragon, we will bring those to you. Preparations for today's undocking have been taking place over the past few days and weeks as cargo has been packed into the Dragon spacecraft for return. And then today, just about a couple of hours ago, around 9.01 a.m. Central, 10.01 a.m. Eastern, the hatches between the space station and Dragon were sealed. And along here with the team in Houston, they are working hand-in-hand with the SpaceX Mission Control team out in Hawthorne, California, who is also on console supporting today's undocking. The SpaceX team, which you see live on your screen there on the left, is led by their mission director, commonly referred to as the MD. After the Dragon spacecraft crosses the approach ellipsoid, which is an invisible 2x2x4 kilometer safety boundary, approximately 1,000 meters away around the International Space Station, joint operations between NASA and SpaceX teams will end. And once Dragon crosses out of the approach ellipsoid, responsibility for the spacecraft will be handed back to the SpaceX team through splashdown, which is expected to take place off the coast of California tomorrow, June 17th, at 7:11 a.m. Central, 5:11 a.m. Pacific. If you are just now joining us, we are providing live coverage of the undocking of SpaceX's 34th Commercial Resupply Services mission for NASA to the International Space Station. NASA and SpaceX integrated operation teams have pulled go for undocking at 11:05 a.m. Central, 12:05 p.m. Eastern, just under 11 minutes from now. To give you an idea where on station that today's SpaceX Dragon spacecraft is about to depart from, here on your screen is the current International Space Station configuration. Here you see labeled CRS-24 Cargo Dragon is currently docked to what is the forward-facing port of the Harmony module. And right above it, docked to what is called the Zenith or space-facing port of the same module today's departing Dragon is docked to is a SpaceX Dragon spacecraft named Freedom that carried NASA's SpaceX Crew 12 to the space station in February. Including the soon-to-be departing Dragon today, there are currently 6 spacecraft parked at the space station, including SpaceX Crew 12 Dragon, Northrop Grumman's Cygnus XL spacecraft, the Roscosmos Soyuz MS-28 crew spacecraft, as well as their Progress 94 and 95 resupply cargo ships. In just over 3 minutes from now, the undock command will be sent to the Dragon spacecraft to begin its departure and return to Earth, bringing home science and hardware for teams of researchers here on the ground. Physical separation of the Dragon spacecraft from the forward port of the station's Harmony module is expected to take place in about 8 minutes from now. And just like its approach to the space station, Dragon's departure is fully autonomous. The undocking command will be sent about 5 minutes prior to physical separation, and at that point, the umbilicals will retract. Those umbilicals connect Dragon systems to the space station, transferring power, telemetry, and commands between the 2 spacecraft during Dragon's stay. After the umbilicals retract, the hooks that are currently keeping Dragon attached to the space station will unlatch, and there are 2 sets of 6 hooks for a total of 12. Once that process is complete, Dragon will then be ready to depart from the space station and will begin to move itself further away. And to do so, Dragon will first execute two short thruster firings to undock using a combination of the 12 Draco thrusters around the base of the spacecraft. The first firing, known as Undock Burn 1, will break any stiction between Dragon and the docking port, and then the second firing, just seconds later, Undock Burn 2, will slowly back the spacecraft away, marking that physical separation that we're expecting around 11.05 a.m. Central, 12.05 p.m. Eastern.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Dragon departure status.
With you on 2.
Wanted to let you know we're working a couple more items down here on the ground. Right now we're targeting 16.05 for undock, and that may adjust some of your exercise constraints, shift to the right 5 minutes.
Copy, 16.05 targeted undock, and that will affect our shutter and exercise constraints.
Great read.
As you just heard from Capcom, our capsule communicator, Alex Kenilakos, to the crew on board station, the teams here in Mission Control Houston and SpaceX in Hawthorne, California, are delaying undocking by 5 minutes to allow SpaceX teams to review data on one of their navigation systems. That would put undocking, physical separation, around 11:10 a.m. Central, 12:10 p.m. Eastern. We're about 2 minutes away from that expected undock command to be sent to Dragon.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for undock status.
With you, Jack.
Yeah, Jack, just wanted to let you know that we're troubleshooting a part of the GNC system on Dragon. We're looking, right now we're still go for undock, but we want to regain full redundancy. And because of that, we're going to delay undock till 16:20. That's our new target.
Hey, guys, troubleshooting GNC. You can still undock, but you're choosing not to, and you're targeting 16:20 for the next attempt. Thanks for the update.
That's a good read, and obviously that shifts your constraints on the shutters and the exercise to the right. 20 minutes.
All right, we're copying the constraints. Shift in right for shutters and T2. Station. I think you implied this, but the GNC issue is on the Dragon side, not on the station side. Is that correct?
Jack, with you on 2. Yeah, we had a radiation hit on axis 2 of the accelerometer. Per our flight rules, we can still undock in our current state, but we're going to power cycle that IMUL so that we can regain full redundancy.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. It's on the Dragon side. I appreciate the clarification.
As you just heard Capcom speaking with NASA astronaut Jack Hathaway, undocking has been delayed, the physical undocking of Dragon has been delayed to 11:25 a.m. Central, 12:25 p.m. Eastern. SpaceX is working to power cycle one of the 6 IMUs, or inertial measurement units, to ensure they have the proper data and gain full redundancy they need with the GNC system. We're expecting that undock command at 11:20 a.m. Central, 12:20 p.m. Eastern, with an undocking or physical separation targeted for 11:25 a.m. Central, 12:25 a.m. Eastern.
Station on 2 for FFF constraints.
With you on 2, Jessica.
Yeah, the changes in undock time, I just wanted to make sure that we were on the same page with you for exercise. It looks like the no exercise constraint is only for 5 minutes, beginning at undock and lasting for 5 minutes, and then the no T2 is 20 minutes after undock, lasting for 10 minutes. So right now, the current undock of 4:20, the first one would begin at 4:20, is that correct?
You are correct, Jessica.
All right, great, thanks. And we're still looking at 4:20 currently, correct?
That's correct, 16:20.
Okay, copy, thanks.
And as we wait for that undock command in a little over 6 minutes from now, here's a look at the 7 Expedition 74 crew members living and working aboard the International Space Station. At the top are the crew of 4 that arrived in February aboard NASA's SpaceX Crew 12 mission. From left to right are NASA astronauts Jessica Meir, Jack Hathaway, European Space Agency astronaut Sophie Adenau, and Roscosmos cosmonaut Andrei Fedyaev. Upon their arrival to the space station in February, they joined the below crew of three that arrived to the International Space Station aboard the Soyuz MS-28 on Thanksgiving, which was November 27, 2025. From left to right are International Space Station Commander and Roscosmos cosmonaut Sergei Kudryavtsev, NASA astronaut Chris Williams in the middle, and Roscosmos cosmonaut Sergei Mikhaev. You are currently seeing a live look at the uncrewed SpaceX Dragon cargo spacecraft currently docked to the International Space Station's forward port of the Harmony module. And we just heard between the SpaceX teams and Mission Control here in Houston that SpaceX has concluded the troubleshooting and they had a good power cycle. They're in a good nominal state with full redundancy recovered. Teams at SpaceX in Hawthorne, California, and here in Mission Control Houston just pulled go to send the undocking sequence here in just about 1 minute from now. We are now just under 1 minute away from that undock command being sent, and there are no concerns for departure at this time. We are standing by for that undock command. The undock sequence has begun. With that undock command being sent, the departure process is completely autonomous. Those umbilicals were attached following the docking of Dragon spacecraft last month, and they help provide data and telemetry between the space station to the Dragon spacecraft. And we have confirmation that those umbilicals have been demated. Next up will be the retraction of the 12 hooks that are currently attaching Dragon to the International Space Station. The first set of hooks are driving. It's been just a minute since that undock command was sent, and again, the entire undock sequence takes about 5 minutes from when the command was sent to the physical separation taking place that we're expecting here at 11:25 a.m. Central, 12:25 p.m. Eastern. Once all 12 hooks have unlatched, there will be two short thruster firings that will help break any stiction and then push Dragon initially away from the International Space Station. You are currently seeing a live look of the uncrewed SpaceX Dragon cargo spacecraft currently docked to the International Space Station's forward port of the Harmony module. And the first set of hooks are now open, and Dragon is committed to undock.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for undock status. First set of hooks open. Dragon is committed to undock.
The second set of hooks are continuing to drive open.
Dragon's committed to undock.
We're about a minute and a half away from the expected physical separation. And we have confirmation that the Dragon spacecraft has undocked from the International Space Station at 11:25 a.m. Central, 12:25 p.m. Eastern. As the space station was traveling 260 miles over the North Pacific.
Dragon separation confirmed.
And you just heard that call up there from the CAPCOM or capsule communicator. CAPCOM is here on the ground in Mission Control Houston and serves as the voice link between the crew and the ground.
Station Houston, Dragon departure burn zero complete.
And we do have confirmation that that first departure burn was completed. That was a 17-second burn and the first of four departure burns, which helped to move Dragon further away from the International Space Station. With that undocking confirmed at 11:25 a.m. Central, 12:25 p.m. Eastern, the space station was traveling 260 miles over the North Pacific. If you're just now joining us, we're live from the International Space Station Flight Control Room here in Mission Control Houston, providing coverage for the undocking of SpaceX's 34th Commercial Resupply Services mission for NASA. Good views here of the Dragon cargo spacecraft, which separated from the International Space Station at 11:25 a.m. Central, 12:25 p.m. Eastern. Dragon is now maneuvering toward the exiting the keep-out sphere and eventually the approach ellipsoid. The next burn will be in under 2 minutes around 11:30 a.m. Central, 12:30 p.m. Eastern. That burn will last about 23 seconds and will help move the spacecraft beyond the keep-out sphere. Some really great views here from the departing SpaceX Dragon spacecraft. There on the bottom is the forward port of the station's Harmony module. And we're about 30 seconds away from departure burn one, which will last about 23 seconds. And we just received confirmation that depart burn 1 is taking place, which will last about 23 seconds. Now the Dragon cargo spacecraft is moving through that key biosphere, and again, that's the first of two safety boundaries. Depart burn 1 is complete and was nominal. The views of the International Space Station here.
Station Houston, departure burn 1 is complete.
On the bottom of your screen, you can see the... On the bottom of your screen, you can see the docking port that Dragon just undocked from, and then at the top, just above that docking port, is the SpaceX, NASA SpaceX Crew 12 vehicle named Freedom that delivered the Crew 12 crew back in February of this year.
Station Houston, Dragon has exited the keep-out sphere.
And we just heard that Dragon has exited the keep-out sphere, and here's a good visual on your screen of the keep-out sphere and approach ellipsoid. These are two imaginary safety boundaries around the space station. They require go, no-go poles in the unlikely event that something goes wrong with an approaching or departing spacecraft. The first is called the keep-out sphere, which we just heard the call that Dragon has exited, and think of it like the neighborhood of the space station. It extends 200 meters away from the orbiting laboratory. And once Dragon passes through that keep-out sphere, which it just did, it will then travel out and pass what is called the approach ellipsoid, which will ultimately set the Dragon cargo spacecraft up on its journey back to Earth on a 24-hour safe free drift trajectory. Once Dragon exits that approach ellipsoid, NASA will be out of joint operations with SpaceX and their mission control team in Hawthorne, California. The SpaceX team will continue to monitor the rest of Dragon's autonomous flight through splashdown. The next burn that Dragon will undergo is depart burn 2, which will be in about 43 minutes from now. At that time, we will be out of joint operations with SpaceX, and we won't be live for that coverage.
Houston, Chris on 2 for a JDV question.
With you on 2, Chris.
Hey, I am temp stowing this JDV 1485 install, and I noticed we've had a JDV temp stowed there for a while now, 1318. I just wanted to double check if we were tracking that as back in the Node 3 end cone, or if we're tracking it as temp stowed in stall.
We're checking.
I guess the better question is where do we actually want that one?
Copy. We'll get you an answer.
If you're just joining us, you're watching live coverage of the undocking of SpaceX's 34th Commercial Resupply Services mission for NASA to the International Space Station. Docking was delayed by 20 minutes, ultimately undocking at 11:25 a.m. Central, 12:25 p.m. Eastern, as SpaceX powered cycled one of the six IMUs, or inertial measurement units, to ensure they have the proper data and gain full redundancy. SpaceX concluded that troubleshooting with a good power cycle and full redundancy was recovered. SpaceX will make up for that delayed undocking time with its burn plan, targeting to splash down off the coast of California at 5:11 a.m. Pacific time, 7:11 a.m. Central tomorrow, June 17th. While we await Dragon's exit of the approach ellipsoid, let's take a look at some of the science and research experiments returning to Earth onboard Dragon today.
Chris, on to.
All right, well, thank you for letting us know about 1318. We would like that stowed in Node 3 port end cone. And also one request, when you have those photos you just took of the other JDV, can you please let us know that they're on the SSD for us?
Absolutely. I'm going to put them on SSC 6 in a moment. And where in the port end cone would you like that one? We have multiple CTDs that we've been trying to put them in.
While today's undocking takes place, there's still activity taking place aboard the International Space Station. While we await the exit of approach ellipsoid, let's take a look at some of the science returning today. The atmospheric waves experiment concludes its mission with today's departure. During more than 2 years aboard the space station, the atmospheric waves experiment captured over 80 million nighttime images and investigated how storms, hurricanes, and other events affect satellite communications and critical navigation systems. Data from this experiment will be made available to the public, allowing researchers and citizen scientists to continue exploring Earth's atmosphere and space weather. Also returning on board Dragon is the InSpa Auxilium Bioprinter, which explores new ways to 3D print replacement tissues and medical devices in space that could help repair injuries, and improve patient care here on Earth. One cartilage tissue, one liver tissue, and one kidney tissue are returning to Earth for analysis. Results could help advance treatments for cartilage injuries and organ disease on Earth. Also packed inside Dragon is the Zeba NC. This helps researchers improve cryogenic fluid storage for fuel and life support systems by understanding how a gas layer affects pressure, boiling, and fluid movement inside super cold fuel tanks in space. Zeba-NC returns to Earth with 12 hard drives containing nearly 10 terabytes of data collected aboard the space station. Results could prevent fuel loss on future missions to the Moon, Mars, and beyond. And also returning is MEF-1, which aims to uncover how spaceflight affects blood clotting and the body's immune response. The results could support new ways to keep astronauts healthy during future exploration missions. Biological samples are returning to Earth for analysis to better understand how spaceflight impacts the function of blood clotting cells. If you're just now joining us, we are live from the International Space Station Flight Control Room here in Mission Control Houston, providing coverage of the undocking of SpaceX's 34th Commercial Resupply Services mission for NASA to the space station. The Dragon cargo spacecraft has separated from the International Space Station. That undocking took place at 11:25 Central, 12:25 p.m. Eastern, while Dragon and the International Space Station were flying 260 miles over the North Pacific. And we have confirmation that Dragon has exited the approach ellipsoid. Dragon is now over 1,000 meters away from the International Space Station. Critical science, research, and hardware is officially on its way to researchers and teams on the ground to benefit humanity. Now, the SpaceX team will continue to monitor the Dragon cargo spacecraft through its next milestones and burns as it makes its way to splashdown.
Nation Houston for Dragon undocking and departure status. Dragon is outside the approach ellipsoid on a 24-hour safe-free drift trajectory.
Station copies all. That's great news, and hope it has a safe and wonderful ride home.
Good words from NASA astronaut Jack Hathaway. And with that, the Dragon spacecraft for NASA's SpaceX 34th Commercial Resupply Services mission has safely departed the International Space Station today at 11:25 a.m. Central, 12:25 p.m. Eastern, as the space station and Dragon were traveling 260 miles over the North Pacific Ocean. Docking was delayed by 20 minutes, ultimately pushing undocking to 11:25 a.m. Central, 12:25 p.m. Eastern time today as SpaceX power cycled one of the six IMUs, or inertial measurement units, to ensure they have the proper data and full redundancy. SpaceX concluded that troubleshooting with a good power cycle and full redundancy was recovered. SpaceX will make up for that delayed docking time with its burn plan, targeting to splash down off the coast of California at 5 a.m. Pacific, 7:11 a.m. Central, tomorrow, June 17th. Just a few minutes ago, the spacecraft crossed the approach ellipsoid, and joint operations between the NASA Mission Control Team here in Houston and the SpaceX Flight Control Team in Hawthorne, California has concluded. The Dragon spacecraft spent about a month docked to the forward port of the space station's Harmony module, delivering thousands of pounds of research, hardware, and supplies to the orbiting laboratory for NASA. One of the most research-packed Dragon spacecrafts to return to date is now on its way back home, completing the 34th SpaceX Commercial Resupply Services mission to the International Space Station. Splashdown is scheduled to take place tomorrow, June 17th, at approximately 7 a.m. Central, 5:11 a.m. Pacific, off the coast of California. Splashdown won't be broadcast by NASA, but you can follow along for updates on NASA's Space Station blog at nasa.gov/blog/space-station. And with that, we'll conclude our coverage today. Thank you for joining us for the departure of the Dragon spacecraft for NASA's SpaceX 34th Commercial Resupply Services mission to the International Space Station. This is Mission Control, Houston.
Houston, station on 2 for E4D Viz. Houston, station on 2 for E4D Viz.
Hey, Chris, saw that you were setting up your video for your activity here. We have a BME enabled on Space to Ground 3. Her name is Lana, that can assist you with this activity.
Copy that. Heading over to 3.
Station Houston on Space Ground 2 for Jack.
For Jack, on 2.
Hey, Jack, wanted to catch you before you started your exercise. Those CTVs that you moved in preparation for Dragon egress, were you planning to leave them stowed in that location?
Are you asking or telling me?
I was asking if you planned to leave those in those locations or if you were going to move them back.
I mean, the hatch is closed now, I'm happy to leave them in Node 2 until we reorganize Node 2. Kind of makes sense to leave the swing profile of the APEP hatch, you know, wide open like we have the keep-out zone on DMA-3 right now, considering that the next vehicle on the forward side will be crewed. But it's over to you guys if you want to leave it in those couple bags in Node 2 or if you want me to open the forward hatch and put them back in DMA.
Yep, Jack, we're happy to leave them there. That plan makes sense to us. We're not going to open up that hatch. If you check your crew note, we have one question on the very first bag. We cannot find it in IMS, so we didn't know if there was a potential typo. It's 5350.
Yeah, that could easily just be a typo. I will have a look and let you know what the right answer is.
Thank you so much. And there's no rush on this if you want to do exercise first.
Transportation checks on to your answer. That was a typo. That first 1.0 CTB is 5356, not 5350. And I updated crew now.
Thank you so much. Station Houston on Space Ground 2 for Jessica.
Houston Station Sophium 2. Is it possible if Jessica calls you a little later?
Yes, Sophie, I just wanted to relay to her that Space to Ground 4 is now privatized, and we will call up on Space to Ground 4 in a little bit when everyone's in place.
Copy, Space to Ground 4, and I will pass her the message.
Thank you.
Houston Station on 2.
You on 2, Jessica.
Oh, was that 3 or 4 that I was going to call down on? I tried on 4, but I didn't get a response.
Okay. Let's try one more time.
Ground 4, thanks.
Station Houston on Space Ground 2 for Jessica.
Ground 2.
Hey, can you float back into the lab for just a sec?
Get a quick picture.
Oh, yeah, A-firm, we'll do a photo. Trilling?
Yes.
Thank you, and we'll see you in 8 seconds for an 8-minute LOS.
Station Jack on 2 for FSC, reset.
With you on 2.
Sorry, I'm doing my cupola, taking the FSCs back to the lab. And I don't see a step about the power change stuff. I just want to double check that I'm just moving, I can shut down the FSCs, moving back to the lab. There's no power change movement, is that correct?
Checking. Station Houston, back with you for the FSC question. Oh, the powertrain should be set up in the lab, but we did want to let you know that this activity is scheduled for tomorrow on Chris's timeline at 8:15. So you could reference that activity.
Okay, thanks.